for a service was when you were in your old building, and it was about, I would say about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, and I remember it very distinctly because it was the first time that I'd ever been to a church where between when you met for Sunday school, you served donuts. Now, I don't know if y'all still do that, but you made an impression on my life. And, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, for no other reason, I would join this church just to get the donuts. Amen. And but I do remember that. I remember meeting out, kind of, you had kind of an open area where there was a big table of donuts and orange juice and things. But anyway, you know, it's funny how you just remember certain things about certain churches. But it has been an honor to be able to be here, and y'all have treated us so graciously. And what a privilege it is, Lord, to be a part of a ministry like this and to be able to represent you in Uganda. Because really, the fact of the matter is, we're just going to a different place doing what you're supposed to be doing here. Amen. In Morgan Hill, California. Amen. And we just get the honor of going to another place. And we love it, we enjoy it, and we thank God that we get to serve Him. Amen. There. And now, there's some missionaries that they come back on furlough, and they bring coffee for the pastor. But we from Africa, we go a little bit further.
Yes.
And we bring not only coffee, but we bring African tea.
Yes.
And African sugar. And plus a nice African bag. So we don't want the Thailand people to outdo us in Africa, brother. So you come ahead and get this. God bless you, brother. Amen. That's the first time I've ever given it in the service, but since our brother did it last night, I just had to do it, and couldn't be outdone. Amen. And so he set the bar high, and I can outdo him on the name. You know, in Uganda they give names to people over there, and it's not really nicknames like he says, but they give names about things that happen when they're born. For example, if you're born with the cord around your neck, they call you Wandera. And everybody knows for the rest of your life you were born with a cord around your neck, you know. And if you were born on Sunday, they'll give you the name Sunday. I mean, there's all different kinds of things that they'll give you. And so it wasn't long before we'd been working with them that they said, Pastor, we need to give you a name. And I said, well, that's great. You know, I always thought it'd be nice to have an African name. And so they said, we're going to call you Makumbi. And I said, that sounds good. It's got a good name, good ring to it. And the word pastor is Masumba, and so they called me Masumba Makumbi. And so I just said, okay, what is Makumbi? What does that mean? And they said, oh, pastor, that means buffalo. And I said, well, that's nice. It's great. And but after they explained it to me, it was an honor. You know, they said, pastor, you're so big and you're strong and you remind us of our African buffalo. And so... So anyway, that's what they call me, is Pastor Buffalo, amen? And so that's always a blessing there. And I met a missionary one time. You know, Brother Cohn was talking about, you know, whenever you eat an ice cream cone, that you pray for the cones. And that's a great, great thing. And how many of you, how often do you eat ice cream cones?
Every day.
You guys eat them every day? All right. I was trying to think of how often you'd pray for the cones. And we met a missionary family one time. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they were, I can't remember what country they were going to, but they were called the Bickles. And so they said, Costa Rica. And so they had this jar of pickles. And so when you see the pickles, pray for the Bickles. And so I was trying to think of something, you know, for stensis. And there's just not a whole lot of things that you can think of for stensis. And so I took that problem to one of the men in my home church there in Austin. And he says, well, let me think about it and I'll come up with something. And so sure enough, he came up. He says, Brother Keith, I got it. And so he says, here's what you need to tell people. When you brush your teeth, pray for Keith. Okay. Amen? And so he had these little magnets made up. And I'm telling you what, every time I come back, hey, I brushed my teeth this morning and prayed for you. Amen? And so if you can remember that, amen, when you brush your teeth, pray for Keith, then hopefully I'll get prayed for at least twice a day. Amen? Maybe once, maybe some of you as often as you eat ice cream cones. I don't know about that. But anyway, it has been a joy, and it's been a privilege getting to know the heart of your pastor and hearing his testimony, hearing how God has used him here in this church and his heart for you and your love for him. And what a blessing that is to see a wonderful relationship between pastor and church. Pastor asked me to touch on a subject tonight, and the subject is called faithfulness, being faithful. And I cannot tell you the men of God in my life that helped me to be where I'm at today just because they stayed faithful. And, you know, I was talking to Brother Haynes before when we first got here, and I said, you know, it's been a blessing, you know, being in Uganda for a long period of time, but, you know, I'm in a country where I can go preach anywhere, and I've never had anybody throw a track in my face. I've never had anybody slam a door in my face. I mean, I can go pretty much anywhere in the country and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told Brother Haynes, I said, you know, it's not so much, in my perspective, it's not so much looking at me and saying, wow, how can you stay so long in Uganda? But it's when I come back to America and I see the depression of America and the rebellion against God, and I wonder how pastors can stay for 15 or 20 years in churches in America. And it comes down to just being faithful. How many times do we as missionaries come back, and I know these missionaries that are here can kind of know how I feel. You build relationships with people, but every time you come back, you almost don't want to ask if somebody's still going because you're afraid you're going to hear a sob story or a brokenhearted story. Yeah, they were here, but this and this happened, and now they're no longer in church. And you know, the Bible tells us it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Just to be faithful. God may not call you to be a missionary. He may not call you to be a pastor. He may not call you to even be a Sunday school teacher or do anything of leadership in the church, but He's just called you to be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be committed. Just be dedicated to the service, to what God has led you and called you to do. And if you will just be faithful, I'm telling you, those are the type of church members that will do something for God. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. And we're going to look at kind of an unusual story. When Pastor asked me about the subject tonight, in Uganda, whenever we preach, we try to use a lot of visual illustrations. And the reason we use visual illustrations many times is because the Ugandans, as we're working with them, they have not had books and they have not had television and they've not had the internet or anything like this. And so when you teach them about things, they have no clue what you're talking about. They've never seen snow before. And so when you talk about washing your sins white as snow, what is snow? We've never seen snow. What does snow look like? And so we use a lot of visual illustrations. I'm always writing things and describing things on the board and showing pictures to them. And so tonight I want to kind of do the same thing and draw an analogy of an illustration that the Lord used in the book of Isaiah to try to help us to understand this idea of faithfulness and how to stay faithful. You know, when you take all the definitions of faithfulness and you bring it down, it just simply means to keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. Don't change. Don't veer to the left. Don't veer to the right. Just keep on keeping on. Find out what is right. Find out what the Word of God wants you to do. Find out the direction that God wants you to go. And just go on and don't stop. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And so we're going to look at a story here. We're going to look at an illustration here that the Lord used. And the illustration is actually about the country of Assyria. And he's talking about the Assyrian nation and describing to Israel what is going to happen to them. But in this analogy here, I want us to see something I think would be very interesting to you as it was to me. Look there in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, He will save us." Now notice verse number 23. "Thy tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey." I want to preach tonight with this thought. The key to faithfulness is simply keeping the ship tight. Keeping the ship tight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll look and see what God has for us tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Lord, I've never preached this message in a service like this, and Lord, I be honest with you, Lord, I don't really know where you want me to go tonight, and Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd help me. I need you tonight. I need you to be with my heart. I need you to settle my heart. I need you to give me the wisdom and the words that I need that would just be the exact thing that this church needs tonight as we think about this next year of missions. Father, I pray you help us tonight that as we look to your word, help us to block out what is happening around us, what is going on outside, what's going on in the sports world, what's going on in the media world, and Lord, help us tonight just to focus on you and to focus on your word. And Lord, I pray that your name would be honored and glorified tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keep on keeping on. The opposite of faithfulness is inconsistency. Inconsistency. Whether you're talking about giving to missions or whether you're talking about tithing or whether you're talking about church attendance or whether you're talking about soul winning or whether you're talking about your Sunday school class or whatever it is, God wants us to be consistent. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to keep on keeping on. There we go. Proverbs 20, verse 6, the Bible says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." They're rare. They really are rare. We face the same problems you have here, but you ask the average pastor, and you ask the average pastor what the biggest problem in the church is, and it's not adultery, it's not fornication, it's not rock music, it's not any of those type of sins that we think of as big sins, but you'll find that the average pastor will simply say it, it's just hard to get people to be committed. It's hard to get people to be faithful, and especially in a country like the United States of America where everything is so busy and hectic and we work all hours of the day and most of the time, especially out here in California, the commute to work is hours upon hours of driving, and so we spend so much time involved in many times what I call the rat race of life. that many times God gets put on the shelf as second place that we take down whenever we can fit Him into our schedule. And so what happens is we have no problem being faithful to work. As a matter of fact, we don't mind giving 40, 50 hours, sometimes even 60 hours a week to work. We have no problem being faithful and committed to paying our mortgage on our houses. We have no problem being faithful and committed to being on time and making sure we give a good effort to please our earthly boss. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to giving our tithes, when it comes to giving our missions the commitments, when it comes to taking that time to go soul winning and giving our all to the church, it's as if we fit God in when it should be the opposite. We should actually be trying to fit our job into God's schedule. We should be fitting our family into God's schedule. We should be fitting the rest of our life into the schedule that God has for us. And then if we have time to do that, we'll do that, but we're going to make sure that the things of God are taken care of first. A faithful man who can find. The problem is we have people today who are literally floundering in their spiritual lives. They have no direction. They literally, listen to this, they literally live their Christian life accidentally and not on purpose. They live it accidentally. If I have time, if it works out, if I can be there, if I can do that, if I can make time for it, and so if it fits into it, that's the way we'll do it. And so the revivals that we hear of in the past, and the concern for souls, and the concern for holiness, and the concern for people being called of God to the mission field, that we used to hear of so often, we rarely hear it anymore. It was just 10 or 15 years ago when I would come back to America on furlough and have missions conferences, you would hardly ever have a missions conference go by that someone in the church did not raise their hand and said, "Hey, here am I, I'll go." But nowadays it's a rare thing. It's a rare thing. Why is that? Because people are faithful to everything else except the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're faithful to everything else. They make sure everything else is taken care of. But everything except the Lord is done. Living in Uganda for the last 20 years has allowed me to observe an interesting phenomenon. When we first got to Uganda, Uganda's about probably, I would say, to be conservative, we're about 40 years behind America. And so as America goes, Uganda goes, and as America gets things, we're kind of slow. We're kind of on the tail end of getting things, and so people are looking to America and they're saying, "Hey, we want what America has, and we want the development that America can bring, and we want the modernization that America can bring to us." And so the dream of the Ugandan is, if I can just get an education, that would be my key to get out of Uganda and go to America. Because in America is where everything is fine. America is where money grows on trees. America is where I can find the answer to my life, and I can get out of Africa, and I can get out and do something. And so as a result, in the age of trying to look for modernization and development and progressiveness, or what they call westernization, the truth of the matter is we're getting more and more secular. Because America is not giving the world what they need. America is leading this world straight to hell. Why? Because we can offer them faster internet, but we're not sending them Bibles. We can put satellites in the sky, but we're not telling them about Jesus Christ. America used to be the number one sender of missionaries around the world, and now we find countries like the Philippines and countries like India that are, and even China, that are sending out missionaries even very, very close to the amount that we as America are sending out. What's happened to us? We've lost our faithfulness. And what I want to do tonight is try to help us to find out where we lost it. And how, if we can just start with Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, if we can just start with the people of this church and say, okay, where did I lose my faithfulness? Where did I lose my commitment to God? And or maybe you are faithful and maybe you are committed. And if I can do nothing else tonight but encourage you to keep on and watch those things that will start leading you down the road of uncommitted, being uncommitted. If you could put that picture on there, brother, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I don't know if it'll come up here. He uses the illustration here of this boat, this ship. And it's very interesting the progression that he talks about. Now, again, the interpretation here, he's talking about Assyria, but I believe there's an application we can learn here about how a ship will actually destroy itself. No one has to destroy the ship. Nobody has to shoot at the ship, but the ship will actually destroy itself. And I truly believe as we go across the country of America, we live in a country where it is not the government that is going to destroy the church. It is not the world that is going to destroy the church. We are destroying ourselves. We're destroying ourselves. We have lost the vision. We have lost what it means and what it takes to be able to serve God and to be able to stay faithful to God. And so to hear of people that are continuing in the ministry and to hear of people that are just years and years and years faithful to the service of God and faithful to the things of God, it's hard to hear of them anymore because you find them bailing out left and right. And so as we look at this, I want us to vision in our mind these old-fashioned ships that used to be during this day, because he uses this illustration here to help us understand how a ship can actually destroy itself. And I want you to, as we look at this ship, I want you to understand that a ship's purpose is to go places. A ship's purpose is not to sit in the harbor. It is not just to sit there and look beautiful, but its purpose is to go places. And in order to go places, in order to do something, is that to fulfill the purpose of that ship, there's got to be the ability to get from point A to point B. And so as we look at the illustration of faithfulness and the analogy that he gives us here, I want you to think about each one of us as a ship. That God wants us to get from point A to point B. And that might be very different in each one of our lives. In my life, my point A was my salvation, and my point B is serving God on the mission field and serving God in Uganda. And right now, that is the calling and the direction of God in my life. And it might be very different for you as far as the direction God has for your life. But I want you to understand something tonight, and I know your pastor preaches this. Every one of you in here, whether you are in full-time Christian service or not, every single one of us in here has a purpose that God wants you to fulfill. Yeah, that is your point A to point B. And so what God wants you to do is God wants you to get your ship tight, and God wants you to get your ship together so that you can leave the harbor and you can get from point A to point B and be able to accomplish what God wants you to do without getting swerved off to the side with the storms of life. You know, it's amazing, a ship that is going on, whether it's being whether it's a nuclear power ship or whether it is a diesel powered ship or whether it's a sail powered ship, when that ship begins to start losing its momentum, a ship does not just come to an abrupt stop. When you turn the engines off or when you pull the sail down, that ship will continue to move for a little while, but eventually it begins losing its momentum. And when a ship loses its momentum, it begins losing its direction. And so what we have to do in our Christian life is we have to make sure that at all times we keep up the momentum. We can never put our life into neutral. We can never put our life in a situation where I'm just going to ride out the rest of my time, or I'm just going to let the young people take over, or I'm just going to let the pastor do this, or I'm going to let the deacons take care of this. No, as soon as you start losing momentum in your Christian life, you are heading in a direction that is going to veer to the left or the right. You will lose your momentum. It can be sailing along great. And even after dropping the sails, it can move forward a while, but hour after hour, it's getting closer and closer to being adrift and thus being carried about wherever the current takes them. Why do we have people who've been in church for a long period of time and then all of a sudden they leave? And they go to another church, or maybe they just get out of church altogether, and you sit back and you wonder, what happened? How can a person just veer that direction so quickly? How can a person just go off base so quickly and follow a direction that it just didn't seem like in a million years they would follow that direction? But the problem is, in their spiritual lives, they lost their momentum a long time ago. And as soon as you lose your momentum, as soon as you lose your faithfulness and your commitment to the things of God, it's not going to be long before you're led astray and you're just set adrift. You're set adrift. And so my question is this tonight: how does a ship, be that a person or be that a church, how does a ship lose its momentum and its direction? Where does that faithfulness go? Where does that commitment go? Well, I believe the answer is found in this very interesting verse here. Notice the Bible says here, first of all, he says, "Thy tacklings are loosed." So the first thing I want you to see, now I want to give you three things tonight about how we lose our momentum. The first thing is very simple. Loose tackling produces weak mast. Loose tackling produces weak mast. Now, you've seen ships before. You've seen sailing ships. You can see the picture here. You understand that a mast is that part of the ship that sticks up out of the middle, that big long beam that sticks out of the middle that holds the sails. But that which is holding the mast, that which is holding the mast strong, and that which is holding the mast stable is called the tackling. It's called the rigging. It's called, there's many different names for it, but it's all of those ropes that are hanging down and holding that mast strong. And the Bible says here that because the tacklings are loosed, they could not well strengthen their mast. The mast is the backbone of the ship. Once the tackling starts becoming loose, a person won't stand for anything. As soon as you start, and listen, when you look at some of these ships, I would encourage you to start maybe Google and just look at the rigging of some of these ships and the all the ropes and all the wires and things that are holding these masts up. And so one of the responsibilities of the sailors was every day going and inspecting the tackling, making sure everything's tight, making sure the rope is not rotting with the salt water, because the captain of the ship knows as soon as those tacklings become weak, the mast will no longer be able to stand and the ship will not go anywhere. So what am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about faithfulness. But faithfulness has some deep-seated roots. Faithfulness is the result of understanding Bible doctrine and principles. And when you understand Bible doctrine and principles, it's not a matter of doing something because the pastor says to do it. It's not a matter of doing something because the missionary comes to and preaching it, but it's a matter of understanding that this is something that I must do because this is the right thing to do. Amen. The reason we have trouble with faithfulness is because people have their tackling loose. They don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. And because they don't know why they believe it, and because they don't know what they believe, the Bible says the time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heed to themselves teachers having itching ears that will turn away their ears from the truth. We want people to teach for us. We want people to tell us what to believe. But then when the storms of life comes and the difficulties of life come, because we have been basing our life on what everybody else believes, it's no longer real to us. And so our tackling is weak. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because when you do not have your tackling strong, when you don't have that mass fit, then you're going to bend for anything. Somebody said this one time, instead of having a backbone, you have a piece of wet spaghetti noodle for a backbone. It just bends whatever the philosophy goes. Wherever the teaching goes. I found that the people in our church, and I cannot speak for this church, I don't know anybody in this church, pastor has not told me about anybody in this church, but I can just speak for our churches in Uganda. The people that leave our churches in Uganda, every single one of them, were weak in doctrine. You show me someone who is grounded in the Word of God, you show me someone who is grounded in the principles and the doctrine of the Word of God, they will be faithful. Why? Because it's something they believe, because they know it themselves. It's not based upon somebody else's convictions and principles. That's why I thank God yesterday when I was talking to your pastor and his love for discipleship and his love for grounding people in the Word of God. That's the key to faithfulness. That's the key to keeping your people committed to the things of God and committed because you're teaching them this is what God says to do and this is what God wants you to do. This is not something that Pastor Haynes wants you to do or Brother Keith wants you to do. This is the Word of God. This is God Himself. And when people get a hold of that fact that this is something God wants me to do, they'll have no trouble being faithful. And so what I want you to do is I want you to be in looking your life and check out your tackling. And I would encourage you tonight and just as we begin this, I want to encourage yourself to sit down and write down your beliefs. Don't go to the church website and get the church statement of faith. Don't ask Pastor Haynes what he believes about it. I would encourage you to sit down, write down your beliefs, write down your principles, write down what you think is your philosophy of life, and then go to the Word of God and say, okay, now what does God say about this? And then you stand on those principles. And you'll have no trouble staying faithful to the things of God. I've seen missionaries come to the field and go because they weren't committed to Bible principles. They didn't know what they believed. They didn't know what they stood for. I'm just saying tonight, if you want to be faithful, if you want to be a faithful man, then what you must do is you must make sure your tackling is tight. And when your tackling is tight, your mast will be strong and you'll have the backbone that you need to stand for God. A loose belief system will produce loose backbones when it comes to standing for the things of God. Whether it's faithfulness and soul winning, you won't have to be begged to go soul winning because you know, hey, the Bible says I must go soul winning. I'm going to be there. Doesn't matter if pastor's on vacation. It doesn't matter if pastor forgets to make the announcement. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to be there because God says to be there. Nobody has to check up on me on my tithing. I don't have to have pastor continue to always preach and always beg and always say, hey, you've got to bring your tithe, you've got to bring your tithe, you've got to bring your tithe. He doesn't have to do that because I have determined in my life that that is a Bible principle and that is a Bible command, and so therefore I will be faithful in doing it because I've determined that for myself. Most people in Bible-believing churches today are running on the principles of their pastor. They don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. They just say, well, pastor said it. But when it comes to the storms in your life, you're going to find out the tackling isn't very tight. And when the winds start to blow and the problems start to come and the difficulties start to come, instead of you standing with a backbone and riding through the storm, you're going to find that the ropes are loose and you're going to find the tackling is loose, and pretty soon you're going to start wavering off the path. Why? Because you have not been grounded yourself in what you believe and where you stand. I don't have to have my pastor tell me to give to Faith Promise Missions. Why? Because I've seen it in the Word of God. I know what God's Word says about it. And so whether my pastor preaches on it or not, I am going to be faithful to giving to Faith Promise Missions. I don't have to be forced to do that. I don't have to be motivated to do it because I found it in Scripture and it's right to do. And so we find that loose tackling produces weak mast. But then notice the second thing. The Bible says the tacklings are loose. They could not well strengthen their mast. And as a result of that, they could not spread the sail. When you have a weak mast, you can't put the sail up because when you put the sail up, it's going to break the mast. In order for all of this to work, in order for a ship to be able to have that momentum and to keep going from point A to point B, you start with a tackling. The tackling must be taut. The tackling must be tight so that you have a very strong mast that is unmovable no matter what winds may come and no matter what trials may come. And when you have that strong mast that is firmly established in that ship, then you can put those sails out. Now watch this. The sails are put out there in order that they might catch the wind. And I think it's very interesting as you go through the Word of God, the word that is associated with the Holy Spirit of God is that word wind. And people today, they want to know the will of God and they want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. But the reason why the Holy Spirit of God is struggling with leading their lives and directing their lives is because we have weak mast. We have weak mast. God does not put His will into, He doesn't make His will like an Easter egg hunt. Well, I'm going to put my will out there somewhere and I want you to try to find it, and maybe if you're lucky, you'll find it. God wants you to know what He wants you to do. He's going to lay it out there for you. He's going to say it. It's right here. Listen, when God called me to preach, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind what God wanted me to do. But you know what? We're not going to go anywhere. See the progression here. We're not going to go anywhere without the sails, because those sails are what the Holy Spirit of God uses to take us places. You look at the book of Acts, and the Bible tells us that as the church was growing and every time souls were being saved and every time that you see great things happening for God, the Bible says that they were filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will accomplish things that you never thought you could be able to accomplish. But it all comes back to that tackling. It all comes back. Here's what happens. We want the blessings without the trials. We want the crowns without the running. And we get saved many times, and sometimes as young Christians, we look at older Christians and we say, wow, look at how far they're coming, and look at what God's been doing with their lives, and why isn't that happening? Listen, right now, just make sure your tackling is tight. And when your tackling is tight, you'll begin to develop a backbone. You'll begin to develop a mast in your life that will be strong. And then when the Holy Spirit of God says, all right, this is the direction I want you to go, this is what I want you to do, you'll be able to spread your sails and go wherever the Holy Spirit of God leads you. Because you're strongly, firmly tight in everything you're doing. So weak mast hold worthless sails. When you lose the ability to take a stand, you lose the ability to go anywhere for God. The sails are necessary to catch the wind. And when you get a hold of that wind, you will get the momentum that you need to accomplish what God's called you to do. There's no one in here in this church that could not excel with what God intends for your life if you would just allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill your sails. To fill your sails. But notice the last thing. He says, there then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. The third and final thing is this. Loose tackling produces weak sails or weak mast. Weak mast hold worthless sails. But then here's the third thing. Worthless sails make vulnerable ships. Worthless sails make vulnerable ships. When a ship, especially in the days when they had the ships like it was on the picture up here, when they had those ships, the only way that those ships could survive on the seas was momentum. Whenever the wind would stop and whenever there was a stillness that was going out there, there was fear in the hearts of the sailors, because when you lose momentum, you lose direction. When you lose momentum, you begin to drift and you begin to lose sight of the goal of where you were going. And so the idea was to always sail the ship where the wind was, because they knew that if they got out of the wind, they would begin to lose their momentum. And when you lose your momentum, you become vulnerable. You can't position your ship when a ship comes in to attack you. You can't position it. It's very interesting that when you study the battles of the ships back in the olden days, the main target of everything that they would shoot at, when the captain would tell them to shoot at a ship, it wasn't, they didn't shoot to put holes in the bottom of the ship. They didn't want to do that because they didn't want to sink the ship, because that ship had gold and things on it that they wanted for themselves. And so they weren't shooting to put holes in the boat, they were shooting for the mast. Why? Because if you destroy the mast, you destroy the ability to direct the ship. And the ship becomes vulnerable. In my life, and I can only speak for myself tonight, I do not ever want myself to be vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. I do not want myself to be vulnerable to my flesh. I do not want myself to be vulnerable to the temptations of this world. And so therefore, in order to maintain my ability to go in the direction that God wants me to go, I must always maintain my momentum. I must always be doing something for God. I must always be making sure that God's word and God's work and God's commission is the main thing in my life. And if you'll keep it the main thing in your life, you'll have no struggle with faithfulness. You have no struggle with faithfulness. God knows, and I understand that our goal is perfection, but the Lord understands that we are sinners, and in that sin, in that sinful nature, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to fall. And so God is not expecting, and please understand me when I say this, God is not expecting perfection. What He's expecting is faithfulness. Now I want to be as perfect as I can. And I want to live for God as much as I can, but God is just wanting me to be faithful. So why has my dad served the Lord since 1975? Why has his son picked up the mantle and been in Uganda for 20 years? Is it because we're somebody special? Is it because we have some special grace of God? Is it because that we're different type of people? No, I assure you, we have the same temptations. We have the same problems. We have the same difficulties. We have the same families to raise. We've got all the same things that everybody has. But I remember a long time ago determining that the work of God, no matter what I did, was going to be the main thing. And I've never to this day, by God's grace, I've never to this day let the momentum stop. And I would just encourage you tonight. The giving to missions and the dedicating how much you're going to give this next year to missions and the tithing and the being faithful to church and being faithful to soul winning, all of those are just a result of a determination to be faithful. You'll have no trouble with those things. I don't struggle with giving to missions. I don't struggle with tithing. I don't struggle with being faithful to church. I don't struggle with any of those things. Why? Because I determined a long time ago to make that tackling strong. And so I don't struggle with it. You say, well, I do struggle with that, or I struggle with tithing, or I struggle with missions, or I struggle with being faithful to church. I understand we've all been there. But instead of making excuses, it's time to start tightening up the tackling. Tighten it up. Figure out for yourself, what does God say? What does God want me to do? May God give us the backbone. May God give us the mass that we need that'll be strong, that we can spread our sails. And let the Holy Spirit of God lead us in any direction He calls for us to go. Would you be willing to do that tonight? Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? I hope tonight that you would forgive me if I have... I just don't know. I know God put this on my heart, and I honestly don't know why, and I don't know if I've been able to make sense to you tonight. But God wants Shadow Mountain Baptist Church to go on and do some great things for God. But I fear too often in churches around our country today, our churches are full of people that are loose in their tackling. They've never determined for themselves what is right and wrong. And so when things come up in life that push us off course and the storms of life come, we crumble because our tackling is not strong. I do not know about you tonight, but when I read this portion of Scripture, God got a hold of my heart, and I begin to fear and to quake lest I become vulnerable. Because I have a family depending upon me. I have a church that's looking to me to be faithful in preaching the gospel in Uganda. I've got people that are watching me. I don't want my ship to become vulnerable. I don't want my ship to wreck on the rocks. I don't want my ship to lose direction. I don't want to go adrift. So there's some things in my life I had to determine in my life for myself. And the faithfulness part just comes as a result, because the Holy Spirit of God is that power that will give you the momentum that you need to go wherever He leads you to go. Tonight, as the pianist begins to play, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, would you step out and come? I don't know something, maybe something small, something big. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit of God's been working on your heart about something tonight. Would you come tonight? Would you at least determine tonight, I'm going to check out my tackling. I'm going to check out my belief system. I'm going to check out why I do what I do. Why do I come to church? Why do I go soul winning? Why do I give? Why do I tithe? Why do I do these things? Is your tackling loose? Oh, may God give us the mass that we need to stand strong for the Lord Jesus Christ.